Good day. Good morning. Thank you. I want to share with you a message using the example of Barnabas, a person that is very well known in the New Testament time. I know you probably have heard about the example or the ministry of Barnabas a couple of times already, but I pray that because it is the Word of God, may the Holy Spirit take the Word of God and refresh it in our heart so that we would still get a very rich blessing and an example of encouragement out of the scripture verses. So let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you because we know we are yours. And that you are our Lord. You are our loving Father. You are the one who knows us, created us, has given us breath and life, and you are the one, Father God, who promised never to leave us. For that we give you thanks. Father God, we thank you for your ministry of encouragement, of strengthening us, leading us on from time to time. And today we pray, Father God, that having been encouraged, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, help us, Father God, also yearn to be an encourager in the name of Christ. For it is for his glory and honor that we ask, praying in his name. Amen. Today we want to look at the example of Barnabas by way of encouragement, not because it is the month of Thanksgiving, but more importantly, we know that the church needs encourager. We know that there is power in encouragement. Perhaps you are familiar with this story that happens, you know, quite a few years ago. 1992, Summer Olympics, Spain's Barcelona. It is a story about Derek Redmond and his dad, Jim. Derek at that time was a shoe-in for the goal, for 400 meters. Previously that year, he has already won gold in similar events at other races too. So he was quite confident. So when he started off very well, but halfway he pulled a hamstring, and it was so painful that he wasn't able to carry on anymore. And so for the last 250 meters, he wasn't able to walk properly, wasn't able to run fast at all, and sometimes he even had difficulty, so much so that he had to stop to regain his composure. His father, sitting among the 65,000 audience, you know, were also panicky. So finally he decided to, you know, rush past the Olympic officers, you know, the police officers, security people, and all those groups of people. And then he kept telling them that, you know, he's my son and he needs my help now. So there you see the famous picture of Derek's father, you know, holding him, strengthening him, encouraging him to walk painful step by painful step, the last 250 meters. And as they were finishing the journey, the audience didn't know what to do. But as soon as they crossed the finish line together, all 65,000 of the people in that group that day all rose, cheers on, and gave them a standing ovation. 208 Nike's commercial entitled Courage. Derek Redmond was one of those features in that very special commercial in China. Jim, his father, however, was the chief encourager in this situation. Had it not been for Jim, Derek would never have been able to finish that race. And even though he was disqualified because of what happened, but nevertheless, the Olympic Committee had created a special medal for him just to commemorate his courage. Jim's father is an example of encouragers. We need encouragers. The word encourage or encouragement in different forms occurs in the New Testament about 140 times. Depending on how you count it, it should be 139 times. And it is one of those key words in the New Testament. The word is made up of a Greek word consisting of two parts, you know. Para, that means, you know, to come alongside of, you know, to go next to another person. And kaleo, that is to call out, to speak to. So basically, you have a picture of someone who comes alongside of you or someone else to comfort, to speak words of encouragement, words of, you know, thankfulness, words of comfort to that very person, someone who walks with you. And it is this idea that we know that the Holy Spirit is also given the same, you know, the same word. He's our paraclete. He's someone who walks beside us, who walks with us, who encourages us, who strengthens us. And because of what the Holy Spirit has done in a believer's life, so therefore, every Christian has the power to encourage someone else. Even as God has done the work of encouragement, of building up, of cheering on through the Holy Spirit in the believer's life, we are all asked also to imitate and to reproduce the work of encouragement, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so the word has many, many different uses, like to be a counselor, to help out, to encourage, to advocate, to comfort, speak words of kindness, to console, to intercede, and even as a legal assistant. Today, looking at Barnabas, he is a model of encouragers, a group of people who cheer on other people in the faith in Jesus Christ. Who is Barnabas? First of all, we know that he was born a Jew, but he was born on an island, Cyprus, opposite of Israel, an island in the Mediterranean Sea, not part of the proper land or the homeland of Israel. And he grew up as a Hellenistic Jew. He grew up, you know, saturated with culture from Greek philosophy and teaching. The first time we note of Barnabas' appearance is in Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. His name in Hebrew is that of Joseph. However, because he has such a desire to encourage other people, to help other people, to bring cheers and comforts to other people, that people gave him, the apostles gave him a nickname called Barnabas, meaning the son of encouragement. Barnabas was also born a Levite. He came from a Levite family. So according to the Old Testament laws, because you are from the line of Levites, you are eligible to serve when your turn comes in the temple ministries. But yet, because he was a Levite, a Jew, born outside the homeland of Israel, that disqualified him from serving in the temple. Nevertheless, we know that God used Barnabas greatly, because in chapter 13 in the Acts of the Book of Apostles, Barnabas was known as one of the prophets and teachers in the early church. Chapter 14, together with Paul, they were known as apostles, meaning people who have met the Lord Jesus Christ and people who has received direct revelation from him. Barnabas is one of the key person in the New Testament period. He was one of those people that God used strategically to build up the church in his days. We can learn at least three things from Barnabas in terms of becoming a believer who encourages other people. First, we can learn to pray with Barnabas that, Lord, whatever I have, use it. Use it to honor you. Whatever I have, whatever I possess, Lord, this is yours. The second prayer is that, you know, Lord, enable me. Enable me to deal with others in your grace. And the third prayer is that, Lord, use me. Use my life to influence another person's life. Let's look at number one. Lord, use what I have for your own delight and glory. Luke tells us that in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, Barnabas was noted as, this was the days of the early church. So there was a great need among the congregation. Barnabas has a piece of land. He sold it, and he brought the sum and lay it in front of the apostles and let them use it however they saw fit. He did not have any conditions attached. He did not ask them as they dispersed the fund with wisdom from God, to also, you know, set up a Barnabas Memorial Fund. He didn't do that. But he knew that at that time, this was what God wanted him to do. He had a piece of property. He sold it, and he used the proceeds from the sale of the land to help other people in the emerging church. We have to be very careful here. Barnabas was a great example here. Some people misunderstand this passage to mean that when you are Christians, whatever you have, your bank account, your real estate, you know, whatever you have to sell everything and give it to God. Give it to church ministry. But that is not necessarily the case here. It doesn't tell us that Barnabas sold everything that he had. Yes, he was a man of wealth. But however, here he says that, you know, he has a piece of land that was under his name. And so God must have been talking to Barnabas, and God was asking Barnabas, "Barnabas, I know what you have. Would you be willing to offer what you have to me? Would you let me use what you have in your life for the work of the kingdom?" And in this case, Barnabas says yes. So he sold that piece of land. He may have other properties, we do not know. But definitely, he must be a man of some wealth. So Barnabas' attitude towards God is that, "Lord, whatever I have, use it for your glory. Use it when you have a need." This is one of the most basic and one of the most telling characteristics of those who want to encourage other people, of those who are already encouragers. That is, whatever they have, it could be time, it could be a prayer, it could be a visit. They said, "Lord, I know that you want me to offer this to you, and therefore I gladly present this to you so you can use it to build up your church." For the people who loves to encourage other people, they know that people are more important than money. You and I can be encouragers in this sense. We are very thankful to God that our church has many, many people who are willing to say, "God, I have this amount of time. God, I have this much money at my disposal. God, I have my home. God, I have this, I have that. And now I know that you want me to use it for the work of your kingdom. And I invite you to do just that." We are very thankful to God that a lot of the people in our church are doing just that. I say a lot of people, it's not because some people are not doing that. It could be that case, but I do not know. I say a lot of people is that I have seen many, many of such examples and testimonies in the life of this church, past and present. In fact, you probably still remember Pastor John and also Donna, who visited us last week. And before they left, they said, you know, they were very blessed that very weekend, having come to this church, having been encouraged by CCC, because they have seen the fellowship, because they have seen the willingness of brothers and sisters here to allow God to use their time, their resources, to be a blessing to other people in and outside of the kingdom. So Barnabas shows us how to be an encourager, to have a heart big enough to say, "God, this is what I have, I know, but it came from you anyway. And now I know that you have a need of it. Just use it. Just use it." The second thing about Barnabas as a model of encouragers is that he prayed that, "Lord, enable me, help me to deal with people in grace, your grace." Barnabas did two things, notably in this category. He treated Paul with grace. He also welcomed the first batch of non-Jews, Gentile Christians, into the doors of the early church with grace. Barnabas treated Paul with grace. Acts chapter 9. This is the second time we read about Barnabas in the book of Acts. At that time, 3 years ago, Saul, on the road to Damascus, met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has a life-changing experience. But even though he just became a believer, no one in the early church dared to trust him. They are not sure whether he was truly repentant of his sins, or they're not quite sure whether, you know, there was just an excuse and a disguise so that he could penetrate into the early church and eventually send more people into imprisonment. And now 3 years later, Paul has been learning the basic truth of the Bible. He went to Jerusalem. He wanted to say hi to the apostles, to the believers there. He wanted to have fellowship there. He wanted to learn from them and with them. But however, 3 years later in Jerusalem at that time, the apostles, among other people, were distrustful of Paul. They dare not believe that he was a real believer, a genuine Christian. Except one person, verse 27, Barnabas. Barnabas greeted Paul, took care of Paul. He brought him to see the apostles. He spoke up for him, vouched for him. He told the apostles and other people about how Paul came to know the Lord Jesus, about his conversion experience. He encouraged other people to look into Paul's new life experience and see the evidence of God's grace, the evidence of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He reminded people that it is still possible in this day and age for God to change a person completely inside out, for God to bring a sinner to become a saint. So Barnabas was trying to encourage Paul, and he was also trying to encourage other people to trust Paul, give him the benefits of the doubt. Barnabas was willing to take risk. He was willing to become a friend of Paul. He was willing to come alongside Paul, talk to Paul, learn to know him, listen to his stories, and share the same story of faith, of conversion with other people. Barnabas did it because he was able to see in Paul the grace of God, evidence of the working of God. And he wanted to encourage that grace to be more visible in Paul's life. So therefore, he encouraged Paul, he befriended Paul, he spoke up for him, and he tell other people that, yes, you may have heard of many stories, horrible stories of the things that Paul has done in the past, but now look at the grace of God, the power of God in his life. Observe his relationship with God. Observe his faith in the Lord Jesus and see how he shares the Lord Jesus with everyone he knew. And we need that kind of people in our lives. We know that we all need encouragement, but God is asking us to also learn to be an encourager, to cheer someone on in the journey of faith, like Barnabas did with Paul. Barnabas treated Paul with grace. And so as a result, Paul was able to have fellowship with the apostles and the believers in the church in Jerusalem. He was able to enter into the church and leave the church and share the gospel with many, many other people. And as a result of that, the church grew. And Barnabas has a key part in that. A little while later on, in Acts chapter 11, you find for the first time a significant group of Gentiles turn to the Lord Jesus. Although there have been Gentiles believers before, but in such significant number, this is the first time, and it happened in a place called Antioch, north of Jerusalem. This is the third time Acts of the Apostles mention Barnabas. And what did Barnabas do? The Jerusalem church were not quite sure how to handle this situation. They didn't expect it. They thought previously that up until now, if you want to enter into the heaven of God, you have to go through Israel. But God somehow seems to be doing something wonderful in people outside of Israel. So as a result, they sent Barnabas to Antioch to check out the entire situation. Barnabas went there and saw evidence of the grace of God, the working of the Holy Spirit. So he encouraged the believers there. He again walked by their side. He got to know them. He encouraged them. He spoke up on their behalf. And so the door of the church was open to Gentiles, Christians as well. The church needs them. We have a lot of encouragers in our church, and we thank God for that. And among them are also those who greet newcomers, those who befriended old-timers. They carry with them the blessings of the Lord Jesus. They carry with them encouragement from the Holy Spirit. The church cannot do without encouragement. The church cannot grow without encouragement. Many years ago, Gandhi was studying in England. At that time, he read the Bible diligently, and he got to become very interested in the work, lives, and teaching of Jesus Christ. One day, he decided to go to church just to find out a little bit more what Christians do on Sundays and to find out a little bit more for himself who this Jesus is. But as he was about to enter the church, one of the ushers, or maybe a greeter, stopped him at the door and respectfully asked him to go worship at another place else, because Gandhi was a person of color, and they wanted Gandhi to go to another church that would welcome people of color to worship Christ. Gandhi was welcome to worship Christ, but not at that church that day. Can you imagine what happens if Barnabas had been that particular greeter, that particular usher, that particular person who does the ministry of welcoming that day at that particular church? India would be very different today. Barnabas is a model of encouragement. He dealt with other people with the grace of God. And that is a very important lesson for us to learn. But Barnabas also prayed a third prayer. He made a third decision. He said, Lord, use my life. Use me to influence another person's life. Barnabas may not be that famous compared to other apostles. He is not one of the authors of any of the New Testament books. However, in his own way, he molded, he trained, he shaped two very important and influential disciples. One's Paul, the other one is Mark, who authored the Gospel of Mark. We have seen how Barnabas encouraged Saul when he first became a believer, and it was such an important conversion for Saul that he later on changed his name to Paul. And by God's grace and through revelation from Christ, he authored 13 books in the New Testament. He was a great theologian, a Bible teacher. He was also a great missionary. He shared the gospel with people throughout the Roman Empire. He was known as the apostle to the Gentiles. But who molded Paul? Who shaped Paul? Who influenced him? It was Barnabas. Very interestingly, Barnabas in Antioch was very much respected by other people. He was not just a leader, but a leader among leaders. He was always filled with the Holy Spirit. He has great faith. He brought many, many people to Christ in Acts chapter 12. And then later on, to enable the church in Antioch to keep growing, he went to Tarsus to look for Paul. He recognized the spiritual giftings, the abilities that Paul has. So he brought Paul back to Antioch, and together they served in the church in Antioch. Together they went out to evangelize. And the first evangelism trip, Barnabas took Paul, and their very first station was Cyprus, Barnabas' hometown. There Barnabas introduced Paul as a newcomer, but an important person who loves the work of the Lord Jesus to the people there. In verse 2 of chapter 13, you read about Barnabas and Paul. But in verse 8 of the same chapter, you read about Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas did not have a big ego. He was secure enough within himself to allow and to encourage Paul to share the stage, to grab maybe the bulk of the limelight. He was secure enough to say, as long as the work of God is done, as long as people were built up in the faith, it doesn't matter whether it be Paul or Barnabas, let God do it through whomever he has chosen. And it is slowly from here that we see Paul emerging in importance and significance. And Barnabas sort of faded out into the background to do the other works that God has given for him to do. This is what discipleship is about. Discipleship is more than a set of 10 lessons or 6 months of study. It is more than a program that the church offers. Discipleship basically is live a life of Christ in such a way that God would use you. God would use my life to influence and shape another person in him. Remember the command that Jesus gave, the Great Commission? You know, go into the world. Go into the world to preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them the things that I have taught you. Teach them the things that you have learned from God. Pass it on to other people. And that is the essence of discipleship. One Christian life influencing another life for the glory of God. Can you imagine? Just imagine, picture this. At the funeral service of Barnabas, a lot of people came, showed up, because they have all been helped, encouraged, cheered on by Barnabas one way or another. And then there are four people who came up and gave testimony, thanking God for the graces they have received and experienced in the person Barnabas. Maybe the first person who went up was an elderly person. And as he was going up to the stage and to the mic and share, you hear people, you know, whistling, you know, don't you know he's a great apostle? He's the one who wrote the 13 books in the New Testament. And he is a very experienced, you know, missionary. But probably I would imagine Paul would say this. Formerly, I was one who persecuted the Christian church. But when I came to know the Lord Jesus, my life changed completely. However, no one wanted to be my friend. No one wanted to have fellowship with me. They all fear me. And I understood that. Only Barnabas believed in me. It was Barnabas who went to Tarsus, brought me back to Antioch, introduced me to the church in Antioch, and gave me my first ministry, my first pastoral job. It was Barnabas who encouraged me, trusted in me, and all that God has accomplished through me. It started somewhat with Barnabas. And then Paul sat down. And the second person who came up to give thanks for the graces of God in the life of Barnabas was probably Paul or Mark. Mark said, all of you know my history. When I was young, I was immature. I was full of myself. I trusted in my own ability. Yes, I went with Paul and Barnabas on a missionary trip, but halfway I returned home because it was just too difficult for me. And because of this, Paul never wanted to take me. Paul never wanted to allow me to go on this missionary trip with him again. However, Barnabas would not let me go. He stayed with me, he encouraged me, he counseled me, and he gave me another chance to go on missionary journey. For what Barnabas has done for me, I would always be grateful to him, but more importantly, I'm always grateful to God. All that I have accomplished, Barnabas has an important part in it. Third person, a non-Jew, a Gentile who became a believer, went up to share. I was not born of Jew, and so accordingly, I have no part in the covenant of the God of Israel. According to what the Bible says, I'm one who doesn't have hope. But however, today, I found my Savior in Jesus Christ. I'm one of the first batch of people who came to know the Lord. One of the first batch of people that the church welcomed us into their fellowship. And who made that possible? Barnabas. And lastly, maybe an elderly woman would go up and share. I represent the widows in our church. For you know how difficult it is to be widows. You lost your husband, and many of us do not have children. We have no hope. We have no saving. And we have no one to share our difficulties. But thank God, because here comes Barnabas. He knew that the church has need, great needs. He knew about our needs. He had a piece of land, he sold it, and he gave the money to the apostles so that the money ended up helping the church and it ended up helping us. To be honest, without Barnabas, we wouldn't know where we would be today. Maybe there will be four of those such thankful testimonies at the memorial service of Barnabas. You know, it doesn't matter what we can do or cannot do. Anything that we can do by way of encouragement, by way of a prayer, by way of a listening ears, by way of, you know, going to walk alongside of someone else. When we do it for God, God says, that is the work of the Holy Spirit taking place. And that is the ministry of encouragement. So, for Thanksgiving, we all want to be filled with praise, with joy, so we can give thanks to God. One way is to be encouraged by other people. But another way is to bring encouragement, to bring joy, to bring praise into the lives of someone else. It may be your spouse, it may be your child, it could be a stranger, it could be someone you know who is going through a difficult time. So let's ask God, because he's the ultimate encourager, to not just encourage us, but also to make us encouragement in Christ to others. So let us pray. In the next few silent seconds. Let us pray for ourselves that we may be encouraged by the Holy Spirit right now, today, especially if we're going through difficult times. Let us not lose sight that our God is the God of all comforts and encouragement. Secondly, let us also pray for the Lord to change us so we can encourage other people. Gracious Father, we thank you for what the Holy Spirit can do, especially when we allow you to come into our lives and make us people of encouragement. We thank you that you will always encourage us, always strengthen us. And we pray, Father God, that we may never so much seek to be encouraged as to encourage other people. We thank you, Father God, because when we encourage other people, when we pray for other people, when we speak grace to another person, we would also be encouraged ourselves. Thank you that this is the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit that you have given to us to share and to do. So thank you, Father God. Encourage those, O Lord, who need to be reminded of your power, your provision. And help us, Father God, because we have the Spirit of Christ, to encourage other people too, especially those who need to know you. For we ask in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus, amen.